Praise the Lord. Very, very quickly, we'd like to look at the dividends of positive character. The dividends, the harvest, the profit of positive character. Part 1. Psalm 1, verse 1 to verse 3. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Our objective this morning is to understand the profit of positive character, the profit of uprightness, the profit of godliness, the profit of positive character, the profit of uprightness, the profit of godliness. The Bible made it clear that godliness is profitable. First of all, in the life that now is. And we'll come to that later. And then in the life that is to come. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. Godliness is profitable. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. It is profitable to live godly. It is profitable to live upright. We saw in the life of Joseph the profitability of godliness. We saw in the life of someone like Paul the Apostle the profitability of godliness. When we grew up, somebody looked at me and said, you are carrying Bible, carrying Bible. Let's see what will come out of your carrying of Bible. It was mocking. I was a young man in between A-levels, just at the junction of A-level into the university. And he was just mocking. He saw the profit of it. Over profit. Godliness is profitable. What are the dividends of the profit of positive character, godly living, upright living, righteous living, holy living? Number one is the presence of God. The presence of God is the preserve of people who walk in godly character. Godly people are divine presence carriers. When you come around a person who walks, who lives a godly life, you feel God. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4, it said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord and who shall stand in his holy place? You say, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully. This person dwells, he abides with God. The Bible said Elijah was a man of like passion. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. When he was talking of Elijah in James chapter 5 and in verse 16, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he was referring in verse 17 to Elijah. Now that Elijah in 1 Kings 17 verse 1 said, before God whom I stand, His righteousness gave him a stand before God. Before God whom I stand. Before God whom I stand. Every godly man has a stand in God's presence. Every upright man has a stand in God's presence. And I can assure you that the presence of God is one of the greatest assets of man. It doesn't matter what you lack. If you have God, you have too much. Exodus 33 verse 14, God told Moses, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. It doesn't matter who has not gone along with you. It doesn't matter what is not working for you. If the presence of God is working for you, if the presence of God is with you, you have too much. Godly character, positive character, uprightness will give you the presence of God. Number two is the boldness of faith. The boldness of faith. The boldness of faith is imparted by godly character and uprightness. Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 1, the Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The boldness of faith is imparted by godly character. We also see that there is a connection between faith and a pure conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19. There is a connection between faith and a pure conscience. Say, holding faith and a good conscience. So faith has to do with a good conscience. If your conscience is not good, it's not pure, your faith can't be there. Your faith can't be there. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 9, 1 Timothy 3, 9, the Bible also speaking said, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. The mystery of faith answers to a pure conscience. A conscience that is not hurting God or hurting man. If you want your faith to be clear, your conscience must be pure. Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 22. Hebrews 10, 22. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. The full assurance of faith happens when the heart is sprinkled from an evil conscience, full assurance of faith. If your conscience is not clear, your faith is shaky. There are things you may not dare in the realm of the spirit, or you may not pray about because of the lack of godly character. Somebody say a loud amen. I told you the story of a judge who told me one time that he was handling a case. And the case, I believe, involved culpable homicide or something. Where someone killed somebody or something, and he was judging the case. And the people wanted to bribe him. And he refused to take the bribe. He was going to apply the full weight of the law and sentence accordingly. And then the people became diabolic. So he told me, he said, every time he came to open the case, he began to vibrate. On the judgment seat, you just begin to vibrate like this. He said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. He said, I've been a judge for almost 30 years. If I have collected bribe from anybody one day to influence my judgment, let their charm work. But if I have not, pray with me. They will fail. What an audacity. He had such audacity of faith, and we prayed and God answered. He had such audacity of faith by virtue of the purity of his conscience. Faith goes hand in hand with a pure conscience. So the boldness of faith is our dividend number two. Number three is the anointing of God. The anointing of God belongs to men and women who walk in uprightness, the anointing of God. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and in verse 8, he said, let your garment be always white, and let your head lack no ointment. If your garment is white, your head will not lack oil. If your garment is not white, your head will lack oil. You remember when God sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint a king? When he arrived, he told them, sanctify yourselves. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5, if it is the oil you want, sanctify yourselves. They sanctified themselves, but none of them was the right person. Then he sent for David. And when David arrived, because David already arrived sanctified, he did not ask David to sanctify himself. God said, arise, anoint him, for he is the one. 1 Samuel 16:12. No wonder God could talk about David in Psalm 89 verse 20. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. I anointed him with the holy oil because it's a holy vessel. If you need the anointing of God in your life, and the anointing of God is what helps a man to fulfill the purpose of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Unction is to function. It helps you to fulfill the purpose of God for your life. Whatever God called you to do, whatever be your gifting, the anointing helps you to fulfill it. If you need that anointing, then you must be a man or a woman of positive character. You must be a man or a woman of quality character. There are many people who had the anointing but lost the anointing because they lost character. Am I speaking to somebody here today? Positive character will guarantee the anointing of God. That was number three. Number four is the glory of God. The glory of God answers for men and for women who walk in positive or quality character. The glory of God explodes in the platform of uprightness, the platform of holiness and godly character. Exodus chapter 15 verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Amongst the gods, who is like thee? You are glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Hallelujah. Glorious in holiness. Give him holiness. Give him uprightness. Give him godly character, and you will see his glory. Luke chapter 9 verse 29. The Bible says concerning Jesus, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. He was in a glory realm with a white and glistering raiment. The climate of godly character is the climate of glory. Is the climate of glory. No wonder the Bible said in Romans chapter 3 verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of glory. That is, when you live in an ungodly way, you cannot walk in the glory you are meant to walk in. There is one glory of the sun, one glory of the moon, one glory of the stars, and one star differeth from another in glory. If you walk in an ungodly life, that's right, 1 Corinthians 15:41, everybody has his realm of glory. You have a realm of shining God ordained for you. You have a realm of honor and dignity God wants you to walk in. But when you live in an ungodly way, in a sinful way, you fall short of that glory. And so positive character, godly character, help us to walk in the glory that is designed for us. And finally, number five is divine preservation. The preservation of God. Divine preservation happens for men and for women who walk in godly character. Divine preservation. Divine preservation. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 13. He said, who is he and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? If you are in the way of good, you are in the way of right, you are in the way of positive godly character, you are not permitted to be in the way of harm. Who is he that will harm you? There is no such native doctor. There's no such witch or wizard. That you are going to church, let's take him to native doctor, and you didn't do them anything. That you are looking fine and good, let's harm him. It's impossible. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? In the book of Proverbs chapter 19 verse 23, Proverbs 19 verse 23 said, the fear of the Lord, which makes people to depart from evil, according to Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord, which makes people depart to hate evil, it tendeth to life. He that has it shall abide satisfied and shall not be visited with evil. Isaiah 33, verse 15 to verse 16. See what he said. He that walketh righteously, speaketh uprightly, despiseth the gain of oppressions, shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, this person shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given to him, and his waters shall be sure. I speak to someone here today, where you are occupying, no devil shall be able to pull you down from there to destroy you. In the name of Jesus, I declare the solidity of preservation for your life as you walk with godly character in Jesus' precious name. What have we said so far concerning godly character? That godly character commands the presence of God, number two. It activates the boldness of faith, number three. Helps us with the anointing of God, number four. We walk in the glory of God. And number five, we walk in divine preservation. This is the conclusion. Number one, godly character affects man's welfare on the earth and destiny in eternity. Our welfare on the earth is affected by the godliness of our character. Our destiny in eternity is also affected. We read that already in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. He said, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that now is and the life which is to come. So there is what it profits us on earth and what it profits us in eternity. Secondly, in order not to end life's journey in the eternal flames of hell, godliness is mandatory. In order not to end life's journey in the eternal flames of hell, godliness is mandatory. Daniel chapter 12 and in verse 3. Daniel chapter 12 and in verse 3, he said, and they that be wise shall shine as the... Let's look at verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting regret, everlasting contempt, everlasting damnation, everlasting destruction. That should never be our portion. When we talk about the dividends of godliness, what should bother us the most is life in the afterlife. It is profitable for us here. But what shall he profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I believe that God shall help us to live according to his plan and his purpose in Jesus' name. Lift up your hands everywhere you are and just begin to appreciate God. Thank him for his word to you this morning. Thank him for his word to you this morning. Father, thank you for your word to me. I give you the praise, I give you the honor, and I give you the adoration in the name of Jesus Christ. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. And everyone, there are those who came out already, but everyone who need to have their sins forgiven. Lord, I am not meeting up in character. I am not living a godly life. I am not living an upright life. I need help. I need mercy. I need forgiveness. Lift your hands and pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, say it louder. Lord Jesus, louder. Lord Jesus. Can we all stand up on our feet at this moment?
Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart.
Those under the gallery right there, please stand on the gallery, under the gallery. Everybody, lift your hands.